You're listening to Idaho Matters.
But this is not Gemma Gaudette.
Gotcha.
It's Joel Wayne.
And LD from the podcast You Know the Place.
We're producing season 6 right now. Woo-hoo. And we need your suggestions. Places to visit that you maybe pass by all the time, but you've never stopped into.
Places that you want to know what's their business?
What do they sell? Who goes in there? How do they stay in business? All those questions.
All valid. What are you seeing out there? Where are we going?
Send us your suggestions. You can send them on Instagram at You Know the Place.
Or shoot us an email. Send it to youknowtheplacepodcast@gmail.com.
We want to know.
Okay. Now here's Gemma.
From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. It's summertime, you know, where our thoughts turn to the great outdoors and spending time in Idaho's wilderness. New York Times bestselling author and podcaster Baratunde Thurston is an outdoor enthusiast, and he has been traveling all around the country, meeting people who live and play in the outdoors, and to also find out how climate change is impacting some of our favorite places. And he has documented his travels in a new series on PBS. It's called America Outdoors with Baratunde Thurston.
We think we invent things and create things and define ourselves by ourselves. But that's not the whole story. The truth is, we are co-authors with the world around us.
My name is Baratunde Thurston. I'm a writer, activist, sometimes comedian.
Well, you can't get any fresher than this.
No, we just picked it.
And I'm all about exploring the outdoors that shape us as Americans. This country is wild. And its natural landscapes are as diverse as its people.
Is adventure racing the thing you do where you make life much harder than it needs to be?
Always.
Always. We are different, man.
And on Tuesday, the second episode, Idaho Tied to the Land, will air on Idaho Public Television. And Baratunde, along with Lori McNichol, Idaho pilot, and the owner of McCall Mountain Canyon Flying Seminars, are joining us now to talk more about this. Welcome, both of you.
What's up? What's up? It's good to be here. And I just got to point out the obvious disconnect. We titled this episode Tied to the Land, and here we are talking to a woman who flies for a living and untethers herself from Earth on a regular basis. Lori, it's great to see you again and hear you again.
Yes, I feel very special to be included. Thank you. And I just love to see your smiling face once again.
Well, I have to say, I mean, that's part of Idaho, though, right? Lori, is that there are so many beautiful places, but even where you are today, there are no roads to get to it.
That is correct. You know, I just feel blessed that I have this wonderful opportunity to be a pilot and have access to the unroaded wilderness in the backcountry. Fly in and land on an airstrip of sorts and enjoy being unplugged off the grid in this wonderful environment.
So, Baratunde, why did you want to do this series? And when we say you go all around the country, I mean, you really do.
Yeah, it's a gigantic country, I found out. I mean, you can see it on a map, you can fly across it, but when you're actually like on a horse in parts of it, on a kayak in others, on a surfboard in others, on a tarmac, like, America's massive. And I wanted to do this show to reconnect with the little kid in me that grew up doing a lot outdoors and being very connected as a Boy Scout, as my mother's son, who took me and my friends out to the wilderness to escape a declining Washington, D.C. in the 1980s during the crack wars, the kid who liked starting safe fires and having relationships with animals that went beyond dominating them. There was just a lot to share and reconnect with myself. And then the other big reason is this country feels extremely divided right now, and it's because it is in many ways. However, all the people that we put on this show share this love of the common ground that we literally share. And so this show is a great way to see the beauty of the country literally and also metaphorically, and kind of celebrate the diverse landscapes as well as the diverse people and our common bond to nature.
Yeah. So the first episode, you were in Death Valley, and I know you were talking with an ultra marathon runner, which I loved the conversation. Tuesday's show, you went to Idaho. Why did you pick Idaho?
In full transparency, you know, this is a collaborative effort. And that's yeah. my diplomatic way of saying I didn't have the choice of everywhere we went.
And I'm
glad that the team, the production team at Part Two Pictures and the producing station at Twin Cities Public Television picked Idaho. I've only driven through Idaho briefly on some cross-country roads across the major interstate. I think I stopped at a Perkins once. There's so much more. There's infinitely more, and no aspersions meant on Perkins. But I was shocked by how astoundingly beautiful Idaho is. I mean, truly, it was, I don't say this to everybody. It'll sound like one of those things. Idaho was like the shocker episode for me. And if I had to pick one where I'm like, well, this just blew me away the most, it was your state, because you got everything and you're hiding it.
Yeah.
You know, you're tucked away in between these mountains and squeezed between some other states. Oh, don't notice me. We're just little Idaho over here. And no, you're not. You got the water. You got the mountains. You've got arid. You've got snow. You've got all kinds of people too, which a lot of us outside of Idaho don't recognize. And so I was happy to see and experience a wide range of Idahoans as well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that. My husband was born and raised in Idaho, left for a while, but came back. And he's always like, would you stop talking to people who love it here? We need to keep it a secret. And I'm like, yeah, the secret's out, buddy. I mean,
it is definitely out.
The secret is out, you know? So tell us about where you went in Idaho, because I know you, talk with Lori, but you literally get on a horse with a rancher.
Yeah, that was, it was a experience, y'all. Pardon my French. I don't ride horses on a regular basis. And, you know, this show puts me in touch with people who are the best. They're not just enthusiastic about this outdoor activity. They are the top of the class. Lori is among the best, if not the best, you know, below the rim pilots this country has to offer. And what we didn't even get to show in the episode was, you know, some of the training she does with our armed forces. And showing them techniques to move in and out of very literally hostile territory. So I got some of the best, you know, ground-based flying lessons I could get. And in Martin Black out at Shoe Fly Ranch, I got some of the best, you know, cowboy and some of the best buckaroo and vaquero lessons that one could get from a man who's been doing it in many ways since before he was born. He's a fifth generation rancher. He's been wrangling cattle and training horses for, you know, multiple lifetimes. And he teaches others from around the world how to do it. And he taught me a little bit. And I didn't totally embarrass myself or my family on that horse or lassoing, you know, that fake calf.
Yeah, yeah. So, Lori, how did you get involved with this series?
Well, I got a phone call and I understood that Bertund was in town or coming up the valley, and he wanted to reach out to me to see what this flying thing was about and this, you know, wilderness that we have here in this region in Idaho, which is 4.5 million of unroaded wilderness. And the only real practical way to get in and out is the airplane. So I said, I'm so busy. Yes. I can't wait. Bring him up. So,
and Lori, I know in this show you talk about flying, you use the term below the rim in Idaho. For folks who aren't familiar, what does that mean?
Well, it's not just high mountains, but it's also deep, deep river gorges. And when you want to get into your favorite spot to go fishing or camping, you know, you got to get down there. So you drop in below the rim of the mountain into some confined areas and maneuver your aircraft around and make a landing. So it's operations below the rim.
This is the humility is also what gets me.
No kidding.
This is near madness. And it's like if you asked Iron Man you know, so what is it exactly that you do? And he'd be like, well, you know, I tinker around with technology. I'm really into metals and rare, you know, substances like vibranium. That's just something I do in my spare time. Lori is like so good. She's trained people who help rescue folks when you got to go in, you know, below the rim. She's helped people who are in very remote areas. The only way they can get certain supplies, including mail. She's helped out in that scenario. I've already mentioned what she does with the armed services. So, and she's a great teacher, you know? So there's a lot of folks like that. And it's, you know, I came up the valley, as she said. I also spent time in Boise, which is a lot more than I expected. And I spent time with people who are very new to this country in terms of their immigrant status, their refugees, who are connecting via nature to feel more at home here. And the riverways, the waterways of Idaho help them feel much more connected to this country. It's a story I was surprised to find, and pleasantly so.
I think it's, you know, you bring up a good point, the Baratun Day, that I think a lot of people aren't familiar with the fact that, you know, Boise per capita has one of the largest immigration population in the U.S. There are a lot of refugees that get relocated here. And it is something that I think, you know, so many people do not realize about this area.
Well, it's that. And I think, you know, Idaho is like this interesting microcosm, not just in the series, but I think truly in the country, because what I got to do is spend time with people with truly multi-generational experiences with the land and with nature. I mentioned Martin Black out at Shoe Fly Ranch, who's got these 1,000 acres, and he goes to an East Coast forest and feels claustrophobic by the trees. They're too close. He doesn't want anybody sneaking up on him. And there's that independent, that pioneering, you know, legacy of the West, present very strongly in Idaho, a bit libertarian. I mentioned the immigrants that I spent time with through the Urban Roots Program in Boise. I also spent time with the Shoshone-Bannock tribe, the Salmon people, as they refer to themselves, up on the South Fork of the Salmon River, who've been here even longer than any of us, and being able to tap into their relationship with nature, even the language they use, Brother Salmon, Father Tree, witnessing the beauty and some of the sadness, you know, of what's happening to our environment, as, you know, the salmon hunt that we were supposed to witness, they called off because the water levels were too low, because the temperature was too high, the salmon too scarce, and the ones they found too soft. They were kind of being slowly cooked in their own home, which is a pretty literal metaphor for what's happening to a lot of our species as the planet heats up. So all that in Idaho, and including you mentioned your husband telling you to keep quiet, this man, John Conte, down in Boise, who, you know, has a great YouTube channel. I can't remember the name of his channel, but it's C-O-N-T-I Conte. And he, you know, was a transplant as a child from California, which Idahoans have a certain attitude about, but he's fully embraced this world. And he's probably one of the greatest champions of open space in Idaho that the state has in tow. I joke that he should become a senator of some kind someday. He's like, nope, that's not for me. I'm like, you're a great representative for people and nature, and how we can work together. So all that in this little state that's trying to hide itself from the rest of us.
Baratun Day, I have to say, you are a force of nature all on your own. You have been a producer on The Daily Show. You were an advisor in the Obama White House. You've worked for The Onion. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So it is, I think, such a pleasure to have you come to Idaho and you know, explore our state. But I mean, gosh, do you ever slow down?
I do sleep. I am not a machine. Okay. I am not Iron Man. I do not, sadly, have any access to vibranium. But I think, you know, even some of the things you listed, there is some continuity that I feel through a lot of these projects, The Daily Show and The Onion work in using humor to connect through tools of storytelling and media. I have this podcast, How to Citizen, where we're interpreting citizen as a verb. One of my favorite guests was from Idaho, Broadband Bruce, we call him, because he's such an advocate for municipally owned broadband, with that libertarian spirit meets community investment. And high-speed internet, even in rural areas, really, really proud tradition out there. Love Bruce. So all that's a long way of saying that this series fits into the puzzle of my life in terms of trying to have a wide picture that weaves together all of us as humans, as Americans, as life forms on this planet. And sometimes I'm using more comedy-leaning tools to do that, and sometimes it's audio, mm-hmm. like what you're doing here with your show, and it's podcasty. What's beautiful about this one is I'm not on a remote stage talking about America. I'm literally out in the fields, you know, conversing with America, being, you know, on the airstrip with Laurie, being on the ranch with Martin, being on a hike with New Roots in Boise, or on a mountain bike with John Conte on the trails around that beautiful city. And that's a different kind of discussion. You know, when you're in somebody's backyard, you know, you relate yeah. very differently. And you defer a little bit, and there's a level of respect that's impossible, let's say, on another platform like social media. It's just nature's media is much healthier for us.
Hey, you know, it's interesting just hearing you talk about Idaho, that you were very, you know, surprised by it. And I think sometimes, I mean, I grew up in Washington State, and, you know, there's this idea of, okay, it's the West Coast. Idaho's, you know, it's right next to Idaho. I mean, it's right next to Washington, right next to Idaho. But I have to say, I mean, having lived here for 20 plus years, you've described Idaho so well. I mean, it really is, there is a spirit in this state of kind of that libertarian kind of this independent spirit that I think we don't necessarily always see, you know, in other parts of the country, but we still kind of is like the wild, wild west. But I mean, it sounds like you maybe I don't want to say preconceived notions about Idaho, but definitely not what you expected.
It was much more than I expected in the best possible way. And yes, I had preconceived notions. I think it's impossible for any of us not to. And it flows in all directions. You know, John Conte, mm-hmm. who I mentioned earlier, who's in the Idaho episode, he, you know, experienced coming to Idaho as a teenager and experiencing the preconceived notions that Idahoans had about Angelenos, you know, people from Los Angeles.
Right.
And so it's dual. A lot of us have trouble seeing the rest of us. Some of that, I think, is just evolutionary in-group, out-group programming. Others is media, right? And the stories we consume. And if we can see ourselves in each other, then we'll, you know, experience more of a we and less of just a me versus you. So Idaho gave me that chance. Appalachia was another episode coming up in a few weeks that most of us have a very narrow image of what's happening in Appalachia. And I got to see, you know, so much more. So it was a crash course, almost literally. I definitely maybe fell off the bike, but we didn't put that on camera. So there's some, the horse got aggressive, but I stayed astride. And I'm grateful to Idaho for that, you know, to that region and to the people. The last thing that's on my mind at this moment, you saying that I captured the state well, that means a lot to me. You know, I don't want to be one of these people that's just kind of imposing my preconceived notion of a place in the final story that we tell. I'm really trying to reflect here. And a thing that stood out to me in making the Total series is when you meet someone's parents, you often get this moment of recognition and you're like, oh, I know why you are the way you are. I met your dad.
Right.
You know, I met your older sibling. Land is the same way. Spending time on the ground in Idaho teaches you a lot about people from Idaho. And it's the recognition of a family member where it explains them. You know, and I think there's parts of me growing up in D.C. that I'm explained by the ecology of the Washington, D.C. area, by the barometric pressure and the swampy humidity and the pace. You know, and Idaho with that expansiveness and that kind of pioneer vibe, I understand why people want to be left alone on their land. I get it now a little bit more than just reading headlines. You know, if I had that much space around me too, I'd want to protect it. So I have a bit more sympathy and recognition of where we come from when you recognize the physicality of where we come from.
I love that. I mean, it's so very true. You have five things that people can take away from your series. I want to take a listen to one of them.
Sure. The outdoors can be a source of escape, of freedom from all the stresses of our lives by just spending time in nature. Humans often think of ourselves as shapers of nature, of the environment, but we are as shaped by our environment. It determines how we work, where we live, and ultimately who we are. No matter how long you've been in this country, you've got something to offer in terms of the relationship we have with nature.
I love that because I think it goes back to exactly what you just said about when you get boots on the ground in an area, you learn more. And I've had the good fortune of living in numerous parts of the United States. You know, when you go into broadcasting, you got to jump around.
Yeah.
But it has given me such a perspective that I think sometimes you don't get. I mean, I've lived in Florida, I've lived in Nebraska, I've lived in New York. You know, I've lived on the West Coast, and we are different, but we are similar. But so much of who we are is the land that we live and breathe on.
That is 100% true. And I think the word relationship just keeps emerging in a lot of parts of my life right now. My marriage, you know, somewhat obviously, but also just in connecting with people, some of whom I know, most of whom I don't, because, you know, there's billions of us. And thinking beyond people. We've got an obviously human-centric view of our world. And we think of ourselves as kind of shaping it and imposing ourselves on it. Relating to it feels much more sustainable, literally healthier. The benefits accrue more evenly and longer term when we do that. And even through the tensions of that relationship, you know, I've spoken of this independent libertarian pioneering spirit about, you know, kind of stay off my land that I encountered in Idaho. And that is juxtaposed to the people who were originally on this land. In this case, the Shoshone Bannock folk. And we live in this country with almost countless broken treaties with these nations. And so there's beauty in the tension and the contradiction. And so to be able to absorb all of it and be with Laurie and be with Martin and be with these refugee kids and be with these original, you know, the descendants of the original inhabitants and say, this is all the United States of America. This is all Idaho. Everybody here is valid. Everybody here is served by relating to each other in a more humane way. And I think increasingly by relating to our non-human life forms who are also part of our community and who shape us and feed us and provide for us and who have so many spiritual and physical benefits as well, just being in the outdoors, which most Idahoans I came across get. That's why they go fishing during their lunch breaks, you know, which is not something that people in Washington, D.C., New York City or Los Angeles or Boston, the major cities I've lived in, tend to do. So it's like all of the above. And that's really
one of my
complex
favorite
sometimes.
Things.
Really beautiful, though.
Well, and that's one of my favorite things. I mean, I live really close to downtown Boise, and you can get on the Greenbelt and you literally see people fly fishing in the Boise River in the middle of the day.
We were filming with John Conte this mountain biking scene, and I don't remember the name of the park, but it's right on the outskirts of Boise. It might technically still be in the city, but there's massive hills right there, and the roads were packed, and it was like 8:30 in the morning.
Oh yeah,
I said, John, don't these people have jobs? What's going on? And he said, Baratunde, this is what they do before work. They squeeze in a ride. They squeeze in a run. During work, you'll see people, you know, lawyers who are litigators in the courtroom. They've got their rods in their car and in their truck.
Oh, yeah.
In between, when court's in recess, they go you know, and cast a line somewhere. That's beautiful. I mean, that's relating and that's integrating, you know, the natural world in a way where, you know, when we have that kind of connection, that we want to preserve it. And it's not because somebody shared a slideshow with us or screamed some alarming numbers in our face. You know, data is very helpful, but it doesn't move us as much as a deep personal connection or a story. And so if we're going fishing during our lunch break, if we're squeezing in mountain biking before work, then we're going to care more if all that's threatened by wildfire or smoke
exactly.
or drought or all the above. And hopefully we'll do more to preserve it for the people who come after us.
And Laurie, what's it like for you to know that, I mean, you're going to help be able to tell this story of Idaho on Tuesday?
Well, probably one of the most important things and take home for me, what I love the most about Idaho is that I can do exactly what you said about before work or during work, fishing. learn to fly so I could access remote fishing. But my favorite thing is to share it with others, take them there, stand around the campfire. Everybody, all through so many different venues of their life, where they're from, then the refugees, just like you said earlier, you know, Boise has a huge population, and to get them out there on the river and just all these walls and curtains part and drop and being with nature and sharing it is my favorite thing. I just love it now. I got here in Idaho 40 plus years ago, myself, California implant. Oh no. And and I just did everything I could possibly do outdoors. And now for me to share it and bring the people and just say, hey, see that river? And I have an extra fishing pole. Go. Is just amazing. It's my jam.
That's beautiful. And just the idea that you just travel with an extra fishing pole. That's that community spirit. That's that, like, you know, sharing it and paying it forward.
Yeah. I want to end Baratunde with, it's not in this episode coming up. It's when you are in Appalachia and you are talking with a woman who is hiking the Appalachian Trail. And I believe you said something like you're stopping your life for, was it 3 months, 6 months?
Yeah, I said you're pausing your life for 6 months, you know, to hike this thing. This is a really big deal. You know, you're pausing.
And then
your life
she
like
said,
that.
And then she looked at you and she said, "Or is your life beginning?" And I had the same reaction as you had. That I was like, "Oh snap, that is." But I
mind blowing,
mind blowing, right?
Explosion because sound effects, like, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that is what I hope people take away from this series is that it is that life beginning when you let yourself experience the outdoors, and maybe by experiencing it, we will be more mindful of how we can take care of it.
100% aligned with you on that. Jennifer Farr Davis is the hiker you're referencing. She set the record for the speediest through hike of the entire trail, male or female or any gender. Like, she just broke it for everybody, the human record. And that reframe from kind of the cost side to the benefit side, what I might lose to what I might gain. I might lose this life that I'm attached to. You might gain a life that you could benefit so much more from. That pivot is useful in so many areas of life. I mean, this is where the show gets kind of spiritual for me, because it's like, we're not talking about the trail anymore, are we? You know, we're not talking about fish.
Exactly.
We're talking about the grand experiment of us right now and how we can approach it. So those kind of lessons are woven throughout in a fun, active, water spray in the camera lens, playful kind of way. There's no heavy-handed lecturing coming across in this series, and it's friendly for children. I've had kids as young as four watching with their families, elders watching. It's the country. I think it's America, comma, outdoors. And I want to thank everyone in Idaho for preserving as much as the state you have so I could experience it. And for those who are directly involved, especially you, Lori, for welcoming me and my literal crew, you know, into your world for a day or two to showcase, you know, your slice of this delicious American pie.
Well, I want to thank both of you for taking this time to talk to us. It is a beautiful series, but it's fun as well. So thank you so very much. We've been talking with New York Times bestselling author and podcaster Baratunde Thurston about his new series on PBS. It's called America Outdoors. And Lori McConnell McNichol joined us as well. She's Idaho pilot and the president of McCall Mountain Canyon Flying Seminars. The second episode, Idaho, Tied to the Land, will air on Idaho Public Television Tuesday night at 8 p.m. I want to thank both of you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.